said Kennedy. President Bush vetoed the tax relief and urban aid bill. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush's veto of the tax bill was another in a long line of administration's economic blunders. Aid to the cities and new incentives for savings will be delayed even longer. Typical of this administration, Al, do nothing until the bitter end. Congress delayed sending the bill to the president so he could reconsider his veto threat and sign it after the election. He waited and vetoed it anyway. The president's anti-tax rationale doesn't wash. For every tax increase, the bill had an offsetting tax cut. What gives, Al? President Bush signed the big energy bill in spite of similar offsetting taxes. President Bush's veto leaves the economy stalled. It may be Thanksgiving, Al, but that bill was no turkey.
If it gobbles like a Democrat, then it must be a turkey. Time to face facts, Ted. All summer and fall, House and Senate Democrats were all inflamed with almost pathological obsession to hang George Bush out to dry. The Democrat Congress squandered what was the last best opportunity in years to address the key problem of poverty, and you blew it. You Democrats have only yourselves to blame for the death of the tax bill, and frankly, Ted, it was a fitting end for the 102nd Congress. Your Democrat leadership killed off the needed enterprise zones with great heaps of new spending and more taxes. If you really believe that this bill was revenue neutral, then it's sure time for you to start using your fingers and toes and try adding it all up again. Ted, the overplayed election year game of pin the tail on George Bush did nothing more than to illustrate the real phony agenda of the silly and immature Democrats in Congress.
This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on how outdated liberal programs like Davis-Bacon continue to fuel the national debt. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. As long as selfish special interests like big labor control you Democrats in Congress, cutting the national debt will continue to be only a fantasy. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, thanks to big labor lapdogs like you, we now spend over $1 billion a year on a Depression-era law, Davis-Bacon, that discriminates against minority and small businesses in government construction contracts. Why? Because they simply cannot afford to hire on the required bloated unionized workforce. Ted, we have suspended the Davis-Bacon law 3 times in our nation's history in order to respond to national emergencies. President Bush suspended the laws to Florida, Louisiana, and Hawaii so that relief money wouldn't be wasted on overpriced labor. Well, pal, the $4 trillion federal debt is also a national emergency that grows with the help of Davis-Bacon and so many other outdated liberal schemes. Ted, if Democrats can't say no to a useless and outdated program like that, we will never be able to say yes to balancing the budget.
Al, the Davis-Bacon Act is obviously the bane of you anti-labor, anti-worker, union-busting right-wingers, but the act doesn't require contractors to hire union members. It doesn't tell them how many workers to hire. What it does is ensure that tax dollars on construction projects are not used to drive wages down and undermine local living standards. You obviously don't know how the act works, Al. Say a new federal courthouse in Wyoming is built. The government takes a survey and finds the prevailing practice on such projects pays carpenters $12 an hour. The Davis-Bacon Act merely says that's what carpenters who build the courthouse should be paid. It stops fly-by-night contractors who do shoddy work and gain an unfair advantage by paying substandard wages. If that's the way you want to rebuild South Florida after Hurricane Andrew, Al, it may not survive the next hurricane either. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A federal program called Star Schools is improving education by bringing satellite technology into the schools. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one of the most successful new ideas in education is a federal program called Star Schools. It uses satellite TV to give students access to more courses and better teachers. It's an important breakthrough for inner city and rural schools. Now schools that used to be too poor to afford good courses in science, mathematics, or foreign languages can pipe in courses from teachers thousands of miles away. The best teachers can reach far more students than just those in their own classrooms. Pupils don't just watch more TV, Al. The technology lets students talk to the teacher in another city or talk to students taking the same course in other parts of the country. When right-wingers like you stop thinking about Star Wars, Al, and get behind Star Schools, we can bring this breakthrough to every school in America.
Spoken like a true debt-dodging, starry-eyed, lefty liberal Democrat, Ted, I do support the concept of star schools, and the schools in KC, Wyoming were among the first to be tested for this fine program. But Ted, making every school in the country a star school would be just dandy if we didn't have these massive gold star deficits. At a time when Democrats and Republicans must come together with sensible solutions for our skyrocketing debt, all you can ever think about is how to inject more rocket fuel. Ted, if providing access to the very best teachers is what you're after, then the Republican accountability and school choice plans would be on the law books now, helping parents to pick the best teachers and schools. Mom and Pop do know best. But for old Dems like you, the bureaucrats will always know best, eh, pal? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on how liberals are strangling U.S. biotechnology with regulatory overkill. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. If we listen to you liberals, U.S. biotechnology may someday meet the same fate as U.S. TVs and VCRs. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. In the 70s, the newly charted waters of genetic research led us to concerns about the possible accidental creation of hazardous organisms. As a result, a black hole of regulations gave to the USDA, EPA, FDA, and the NIH all of the authority to regulate biotechnology, a real acronym nightmare there. But Ted, 5 years ago, the National Academy of Science agreed that genetically engineered organisms pose no threat. As our universities still try to conduct this research, now bounded in shackles here, Japan and Europe are gaining ground fast. Why is it you liberals love to pile on even more biotech regs?
Al, there you go again. Simplistic Simpson. That kind of blanket condemnation of biotech regulation is myopic and misinformed. What those 5-year-old reports you cited found was that the risk of genetic engineering is manageable. They did not conclude that government regulation is no longer needed. Excessive deregulation has its own big risks, Al. You tried out that reckless theory on the savings and loan industry. What a mess. In areas like health and safety, government has to come down on the side of protecting the public. The brilliant success of the American pharmaceutical industry results in large part from sensible standards for safety and effectiveness that have made the U.S. seal of approval a symbol of quality worldwide. The growth of the foreign biotechnology industry is based on their wise and far-sighted decisions to invest in training and research, not abolishing regulation. That's what we need too, Al. Sensible investment, not mindless deregulation. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on his environmental rating, another big fat zero. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Surprise! Senator Al Simpson scored a zero again in his environmental voting record for 1992. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you still don't get it on the environment. The environmental voting records have been published for 1992. I scored 100%, but once again, you scored a big fat zero. 17 senators scored zero, and 16 of them were Republicans. It's hard to understand, Al. You come from one of the most beautiful states in America, and yet you consistently vote against the environment. When the chips are down and the roll is called on critical environmental votes, Al Simpson sides with the polluters and developers. I know, Al, you think environmentalists are extremists. That's an insult to the environment, Al, and an insult to the intelligence of tens of millions of mainstream Americans who care about clean air and clean water.
You in the mainstream? Ted, the closest you ever came to the mainstream in America was the last time you flew over the Mississippi River. Ted, while I was working my fanny off with other Democrats to get the Clean Air Act passed, I didn't see you lift one finger to help out during that entire year. The extremist group vote rating you bash me with compares only 12 votes of the hundreds I have cast to evaluate my record. One of those votes included the Motor Voter Bill. What in blazes does that have to do with the environment? I am proud of my environmental record. I'm totally committed to preserving natural resources and developing new, cleaner technologies, but I'm also deeply committed to working men and women and making certain we don't destroy jobs and the economy. Try that sometime. Yes, Ted, Wyoming is a beautiful place, and I helped put the state laws on the books that will keep it that way. How's Massachusetts doing?
This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a new regulation that will end the days of forced political contributions in the workplace. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The Department of Labor has just come out with regulations to make the Beck Supreme Court decision work. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, no union worker should ever be forced to make a political contribution to support a socialist, left-wing, populist agenda. And much to the utter disappointment of labor liberals like you, pal, Labor Secretary Lynn Martin has finally issued the regulations to allow workers a refund of any of their union dues used for political purposes against their will. Free speech and democracy win again. Ted is one who always claims to place civil liberties above all else. It is the ultimate pinnacle of hypocrisy for you to gleefully tout the coercion of workers by making them choose between their own jobs and giving their bucks to a political cause they oppose. That is truly tyrannical. Free speech is always a noble cause, as long as the free speech is the way you say it. Eh, Ted?
Al, it's always nice to hear right-wing Republicans talk about civil liberties and workers' rights. Those new regulations have nothing to do with protecting union workers and everything to do with harassing unions. The Bush administration's scheme is to make it as difficult as possible for unions to function by burying them under an avalanche of paperwork. Unions are already required to file detailed reports on how they spend their money. They have to disclose much more to their members than businesses disclose to stockholders. The law already has an anti-union tilt, and these burdensome new regulations only make it worse. You spend a lot of time on Face-Off, popping off about excessive government regulation, Al. Did you think about that before you put your tongue in gear today? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on new ways to find donors for bone marrow transplants. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A new study shows progress in identifying donors for bone marrow transplants. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, we all know how communities rally around families in need of bone marrow transplants for leukemia and other critical diseases. Often it's a race against death as communities conduct emergency drives to find matching donors. A recent report by the Congressional General Accounting Office shows an alternative that's working. A national registry types donors in advance. When the need arises, anywhere in the country, there's a chance a matching donor can be found in the registry. Under recent federal legislation, available donors have risen sixfold to 600,000. Minority donors have risen 20-fold. Community drives are still needed, Al, but because government is doing the right thing, desperate emergencies are fewer and more patients are being helped.
Agreed, Ted. But the Bone Marrow Registry Program is a Republican initiative that all members of Congress can be proud of. Every single individual involved with this program is a true American hero. Corporate America, healthcare professionals, average Joe and Jane citizens have volunteered to recruit donors in their places of work, their neighborhoods, and all through their communities. Ted, nearly 1,500 lives have been saved by unrelated donors through this registry in the past 5 years. Every day in our country, this great program saves the life of a child or adult with leukemia or any one of more than 60 fatal blood disorders. Ted, this is a great cause that can be used to unite our nation and the nations of the world in this medical miracle, which helps one human being to give the gift of life to another. It is an investment that has been worth every single penny. So there, one agreement a year for us. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. thanks to our fine President George Bush, peace in El Salvador is finally becoming a reality. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, President Bush made good on his promise to bring peace to war-torn El Salvador. Even your old political ally, the Washington Post, recently gave President Bush clear credit for dousing the flames of war in Central America by helping peace take root in El Salvador. In El Salvador, war now has turned into politics and governing. The communist guerrillas have stacked their arms, and the army has matched the pace with structural reduction in size. And, Ted, we did it all without coddling to the militant left-wing extremists like you and your liberal buddies and Congress did throughout all of the 80s. Ted, you might take a pointer from George Bush. Success in foreign policy comes from having the right aim as well as the right hardware to back it up.
Al, I'm delighted. A hawk like you is talking peace instead of your usual spiel about more aid to the military and death squads in El Salvador. For a decade, Democrats urged peace negotiations, but you and the hardliners in the Reagan and Bush administration kept pouring funds into bullets and bombs for more war. Under that failed policy, over $4.5 billion in U.S. military aid went to escalate the conflict. That policy didn't bring peace, Al. It didn't bring military victory. It brought death to 75,000 civilians, including gross human rights violations and the murder by the Salvadorian military of innocent nuns, Jesuit priests, and children. Last year, the administration finally agreed to support peace talks. The result is the accord we have today. Now that you've changed your tune, Al, I hope you'll be as vigorous in demanding that the Salvadorian military abide by the peace agreement as you were in pushing wider war. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on homosexuals in the armed forces. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to end the ban on gays and lesbians in the armed forces. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Bill Clinton is right when he says he'll end the Pentagon's ban on gays and lesbians in the military. Old prejudices die hard, but the Pentagon now admits the ban has nothing to do with national security or susceptibility to blackmail. Even President Bush's Secretary of Defense, Dick Cheney, calls that excuse an old chestnut. Don't forget the tailhook scandal, Al. Instead of raising false fears, the Pentagon ought to crack down on the serious problem it's already got, sexual harassment. The forces of bigotry once said blacks couldn't serve with whites and that women couldn't do the job. Those days are long gone. Our armed forces are the best ever. They'll be even better when we root out this last vestige of bias. Bill Clinton is right. What about you, Al? Are you part of the solution or part of the prejudice?
Ted, the closest you ever came to military service was sitting on the Senate Armed Services Committee. A pretty lofty place for someone who voted no every time someone mentioned a new weapon or idea. You hardly ever listened to your own fine chairman, Democrat Senator Sam Nunn, who opposes lifting the ban on gays. Ted, Bill Clinton's top military advisor and former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral William Crowell, says that Clinton is dead wrong on this one. So are you, Ted. The success of any military combat unit has always been the relationship that comes from training and discipline. Any outside influence that threatens the spirit of unity diminishes the military readiness of our armed services. Ted, you and Bill Clinton have accomplished what our common enemies have never been able to do, putting our military at odds with itself while terribly undermining morale. What a way to go. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Bill Clinton already making excuses on how he won't cut the deficit. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Bill Clinton has apparently taken deficit relief off the back burner and has crammed it right down the old garbage disposal. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the question as to whether the Democrats are new or just clever was answered by Bill Clinton himself. It appears that the debt-loving Democrat leadership in Congress convinced him to sweep the crippling deficit under the Capitol steps. If Bill Clinton really wants to restore the economy, he'll have to do better than just slide right over the $4 trillion-plus debt. Ted, Clinton's excuse is that the economy is too weak to stand the strain. Let's cut the old bull here. You Democrats always like to talk about cutting the debt, but you're always the first to find excuses not to do it. Ted, the reason why we're in debt up to our ham hocks is because you and your party of promises will always have some excuse. The bottom line is this. If we're honestly serious about cutting the deficit, cutting the Democrats has to come first.
Al, no serious economist buys that argument. Democrats share the blame for the deficits of the past 12 years, but not the whole blame, or even most of the blame. National leadership begins in the White House. We have only one president. It's Republican economics that bears the principal responsibility for the sea of red ink. Reaganomics said we could cut taxes, increase defense, and balance the budget all at the same time. President Bush called that voodoo economics in 1980, Al. He was right then and wrong to change his mind. The national debt was $1 trillion when President Reagan took office. When President Bush leaves office in January, he'll leave a national debt four times higher, $4 trillion. As President-elect Clinton eloquently said, Al, people don't expect miracles, but they do expect progress. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on businesses that deny health insurance for people with AIDS. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Recent Supreme Court action makes it more urgent than ever to end the flagrant injustices in health care. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, in an unusual action the other day, the Supreme Court refused to block a shocking miscarriage of justice in health care. A store in Texas said the high cost of treating AIDS could bankrupt the company, so it used a loophole in federal law and unilaterally slashed the health benefits of an employee with AIDS. In a sense, Al, both the business and the employee are victims. Cases like that show the basic flaws in our failing health care system. Individuals deserve help, and businesses deserve protection, too. Affordable health insurance should be available to everyone. If we spread the risk by requiring large groups, all workers can be covered, and no company will be bankrupted by big claims. We don't need a rocket scientist to understand that, Al, but we do need Republican support to make it happen.
Republican support? Surely you jest. We tried to bring insurance reform legislation to the floor this fall, and it was you Democrats who blocked it. Ted, Republicans and Democrats have previously agreed that workers who count on their health insurance should not have the rules suddenly changed on them after they come down with catastrophic illness. Don't blame the Supreme Court. They simply refused to rule on the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 74. That one has been on the books for almost 20 years, and so we can change it. Taking legislative responsibility for insurance reform instead of blaming everybody else is right where we need to start. Whether it's AIDS, cancer, or Alzheimer's, people need to count on the insurance they've paid for, but you can't bankrupt employers, Ted. Republicans have been ready and waiting for years to bring needed reform to guarantee that protection. We're still waiting. Ted? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on how Clinton's love for the middle class will soon extend to their pocketbooks. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Bill Clinton loves everything about the middle class, and as we'll all soon enough find out, he'll even start loving their money. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, if it were possible to put 100,000 more police on the streets, offer universal health care coverage and college scholarships for everyone, and a whole menu of other government services simply by raising taxes on people making more than $200,000 a year, then Santa Claus, like Superman, will have met his final match. Ted, you and I both know well that for Clinton to make good on his campaign promises, the only way to pay for all that stuff is to either bloat the deficit even more or start taxing middle-class Americans whose incomes begin at $36,000. So what's he going to do, Ted? Since Democrats love raising taxes and raising debt, maybe they'll raise them both. Whatever Clinton does, Ted, remember, a Republican elephant never forgets the campaign promises of the old Democrat donkey.
Al, can that leftover campaign rhetoric? The election's been over for weeks. Even President Bush has buried the hatchet with Bill Clinton. You're still trying to bury it in Bill Clinton. The Bush campaign tried to scare the country about Clinton economics, but that didn't wash. The economy was the issue. Republican policies had failed. People were hurting. It was time for a change. As Bill Clinton made clear when the mud started flying, Al, he won't raise taxes on the middle class to pay for new programs. If the numbers don't add up, he'll cut back on the programs. In fact, if he can, he's going to cut taxes on the middle class because they've borne the brunt of the failed economic policies of the past 12 years. Wait and see, Al. The numbers will add up. The deficit will go down. Jobs will go up. We'll invest in the future. The country will be better off.
This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Al, the Bush administration.
This is Al Simpson. Will Bill Clinton really be able to make good on the hundreds of promises that he made during the campaign? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, during the election, the old fur was flying, and I don't mean from Sox the cat. To get himself elected, Bill Clinton shredded George Bush to pieces, and he made more promises than a snake oil peddler. Since the election, Clinton has been working so very hard to lower expectations, not raise them. He's been cooling his heavy rhetoric and dragging his feet over announcing any specific plans, including cabinet appointments. Bill Clinton has promised us to cut the deficit in half within 4 years, create a network of 100 community development banks, and fully fund all drug treatment on demand, and that's just part of a handful. Ted, yes, even we Republicans want to see Clinton succeed, but he's certainly got to remember what he's promised us all and get down to work come January.
Al, those Clinton campaign pledges made sense. At bottom, they add up to one thing, getting this country moving again, using the federal government as an engine and a catalyst for change. We got away from that idea in the Reagan and Bush years. They thought government was the problem, and therefore they didn't see government as part of the solution. No other modern industrial country operates on that kind of laissez-faire ideology, Al, and the United States can't either. That attitude cost President Bush the election, Al. He thought the recession would end by itself. Instead, it just kept getting worse. Bill Clinton's first and most important campaign promise was to get the economy back on track. Now he's picked a winning economic team with the same combination of care and deliberation that he used to pick Al Gore as vice president. Pay attention to the economic summit that starts today, Al. You'll like what you hear. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Is the Bush administration serious about getting to the bottom of their search of Bill Clinton's passport files? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Bush administration should come clean about who did what to whom in that misguided and possibly criminal search of passport files on Bill Clinton and his mother. They were looking for campaign dirt, but found big trouble for themselves instead. They never should have touched those files. The State Department's not a branch of the Republican National Committee. The tide's rising, Al. Originally, the State Department claimed only low-level officials were involved. Then an assistant secretary of state was implicated and fired. The department's inspector general botched the next step in the investigation. He followed the hot trail right up to the White House door, then suddenly let it cool. Now the Department of Justice has a criminal investigation underway. Something's fishy, Al. How big a fish do you think a serious investigation will finally catch?
Holy mackerel, Ted, there is no fish on this hook. The smell of overripe squid isn't coming from the passport investigation. The inspector general found nothing wrong there. No, what your eager nostrils have tracked down is the stench of the Iran-Contra indictment that was leaked to the Clinton campaign just days before the election. Talk about a stinking dirty trick. The Clinton campaign even put out a press release on it that was dated before Cap Weinberger's indictment was even announced to the public. The attorney handling the case for the special prosecutor, supposed to be wholesomely independent, even gave a large campaign contribution to Bill Clinton. Ted, at least the passport story was well investigated. Now you just hope and pray people overlook the real scandal of a federal prosecutor playing pure election year politics. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the October surprise witch hunt farce that was no surprise after all. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. The heralded October surprise of 1980 was no surprise to anyone, after all. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the bipartisan October surprise special counsel report found no evidence at all that the 1980 Reagan campaign made any deal to release American hostages in Iran before the election. In fact, now the special counsel is even considering slapping the accusers with perjury charges. The terribly sad underlying fact from all this was that the Democrats knew from the very beginning that there was nothing to these allegations. Ted, you Dems knew it all darn well, and still decided to waste millions of our tax dollars anyway to pull a shroud of scandal over Republicans for pure Democrat political gain in an election year. It's sure not the final outcome that you Dems were looking for, but it was the full year of suspicion and distrust cast that made it all worthwhile, wasn't it, pal?
Al, we may never know the full story of what happened with our hostages in Iran during the 1980 presidential campaign. The Senate Special Counsel's report is far from the last word. The Senate investigation was run on a shoestring. It couldn't get all the information it needed, and it was repeatedly stonewalled in many of its attempts to obtain critical evidence. For the good lawyer that you are, Al, I'm surprised at the way you exaggerated the report's conclusion. It didn't find enough evidence to conclude there was a deal. But it sure found plenty of suspicious activity. It specifically concluded that the notorious William Casey, President Reagan's campaign manager in 1980, and later his CIA director, was fishing in troubled waters and operating on the outer limits of propriety. Actually, the investigation's only half over, Al. A House report is due by January 3rd, so there may still be a real surprise left in the October surprise. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The meat industry tried to undercut food labeling laws, requiring meaningful information for consumers about fat in their diets. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you often side with special interests against consumers, but even you must admit the meat industry went overboard, trying to block new food labels giving better information to consumers about fat in their food. President Bush did the right thing in rejecting the industry special interest pitch. We're talking about healthier diets and preventing heart disease. They're putting profit before public health and keeping consumers in the dark. Current labels are more confusing than enlightening, full of phony health claims. Most food producers understand the need for better warning labels, and the meat industry should too. It's hard to imagine a more anti-consumer, anti-public health attitude. Don't be a meathead, Al. Tell the meat industry to clean up its act and stop acting like the tobacco industry.
Meathead? Why, you, Ted, you still can't tell the difference between bull and beef, can you? Instead of pitting the poor unsuspecting consumer up against the greedy bums in the meat industry, like you try to do, the standstill that is now history was only the result of a turf war between USDA and the FDA. Ted, the USDA regulates meat and poultry, FDA just about everything else. The debate was clogged up by such trivial issues as to who was going to regulate the new labels for prepackaged pepperoni and sausage pizzas. I'm sure you'd love to regulate those all by yourself. Ted, next time you have a cow over evil profits, try looking at the facts first. Silly, eh? The new regs require calorie, cholesterol, fat, protein, and other content requirements to now cover all food groups, including meat and poultry. Happy now? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Haitians taking Bill Clinton at his word and beginning their exodus for Florida. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. It's time to impose an oil embargo against Libya because that terrorist nation refuses to hand over the suspects in the Pan Am Flight 103 bombing. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, 4 years ago next Monday, a terrorist bomb destroyed Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. 270 people were killed. A painstaking international investigation identified two Libyan intelligence officers as prime suspects in the bombing. Last January, the United Nations Security Council demanded that Colonel Gaddafi and the Libyan government hand over these suspects. Gaddafi refused. So last April, the Security Council imposed three economic sanctions, prohibiting arms sales and commercial air travel to Libya, and reducing Libyan diplomats abroad. Libya hasn't budged. Everyone knows that oil is what counts. Let's get serious, Al, and impose an oil embargo on Libya.
Well, well, now, I find it most fascinating that the same Ted Kennedy who voted against George Bush's Desert Storm operation to stomp old Saddam is turning into a hawk now that Democrats won the White House. Ted, who doesn't agree we should crack down hard on Gaddafi? That sly cat has been mucking about in international terrorism for much too long. He should be stopped short. But, Ted, don't just develop some selective morality now that you're becoming a born-again conservative. Iran just bought themselves an attack submarine that threatens the Persian Gulf. Pakistan is not just building the bomb, they've already got it. And let's not forget the thugs in the IRA that keep blowing up targets all over London. Ted, I'm all for bringing Libya to swift justice, but let's not just stop there. Won't you join us in the rest? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Haitians taking Bill Clinton at his word and beginning their exodus for Florida. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. Bill Clinton may have thousands of unexpected guests during his inauguration, and they will all be traveling by boat from Haiti. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, yes, I know you Democrats are all busy picking out your party hats and favors for Bill and Hillary's inauguration, but you might pass the word to the organizers that they better make plans for a lot more folks. Thanks to Clinton's persistent criticism of President Bush's Haitian refugee policy, thousands of Haitians are right this moment preparing to make the dangerous trip to Florida, and many have already left. Seems that the American voters weren't the only ones fooled by all the election year rhetoric. These poor Haitians went and took Bill Clinton at his word. Sad. Ted, before it's too late, tell your buddy Clinton that he should make every clear statement that will prevent a mass exodus from Haiti, a boat lift that is only certain to end in death, starvation, and disaster for so many who will make that desperate trip.
Al, President-elect Clinton has already made clear he won't do anything to encourage a mass exodus from Haiti, but he's been equally clear what he will do: reverse the brutal, illegal, and racist Bush administration policy of intercepting fleeing refugees in the high seas and forcibly sending them back to oppression in Haiti. The Bush administration policy is a clear violation of international law and political asylum, Al. You can't send refugees fleeing oppression back to their oppressors. It's true that two-thirds of the Haitian refugees don't qualify for political asylum, but one-third do. And it violates everything America stands for to forcibly return them to Haiti. The right policy must work with other countries in the region to do two things, Al: restore democracy in Haiti and share the burden of granting asylum for legitimate refugees. Shame on you, Al, especially at this time of the year, for suggesting there's no room at the American Inn. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.